Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun.
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. Trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a wet Wednesday. The wettest of Wednesdays, perhaps, with a half inch of rain out there. Spoiling all you golfers that are maybe trying to sneak away for a little midweek jaunt.
Go indoors. Go to X Golf.
Indeed.
Tomorrow.
You can join us tomorrow in Tualatin and Friday in Vancouver. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM The Fan, watching on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you. All right. I asked you this question off air before the show. The idea of the NBA draft coming up, if the Blazers find themselves picking fourth, fifth, sixth in this draft, a draft that is considered to be flat, not having a franchise-changing or altering player that you can clearly say, yes, that guy is a foundational building piece, are you drafting for fit or are you taking the best player available? Because what happens if the Blazers go to pick and Nikola Topic, who is a 6'5", 6'6", ball-handling guard, is the best player on the board? Do the Blazers have the ability to say no to him if he's the best player available and the players after him are going to go, I don't know. Let's say the biggest swing on the board is a guard. Are you saying no to that?
I don't think you can say yes. I mean, think like all of a sudden, everything that you do to untangle the mess that Neil O'Shea created with a guard-dependent lineup, that you continue to go down that cycle if you draft another guard. Like, this is something that, look, I hate this for Joe Cronin in the spot that he is in, because if you draft another guard, the fan base revolts.
Even if that player turns out to be incredibly good, the sins of the father.
But where does he fit in, even if he is really good, where does he fit on this roster? Mm-hmm. Because either you're admitting that Scoot Henderson is not the guy mm-hmm. at three who you drafted just a year ago, or
you're willing to let them figure it out.
Okay, but at the same time, then you just have this backlog of players mm-hmm. at one position, which that sounds familiar, mm-hmm. and they're guys that aren't going to get you over the top and be competitive immediately. Like, this is nightmare fuel for Joe Cronin, because you, at the same time, if you go for need and you're drafting for need and filling that roster, this draft isn't it. Mm-hmm. This draft isn't it. So I think you have to go with the need over the best player available, despite the fact your roster isn't ready to have, like, pass up greatness. even at the guard positions, when you have Anthony Simons and you have Scoot Henderson, I think what you're doing is you're getting on the phone and you're asking for a trade and seeing who's going to trade for Scoot and or Ant, and then you
or the player at
or
that spot.
Or the player at that spot. And but that you're not going to be getting a whole heck of a lot of return. You're going to be getting draft assets in return, and you're saying, all right, can we trade one of our existing players that will have a greater value for something that we can trade for need at a position, as opposed to trading that draft pick where you're probably just slotting yourself back further in the draft where you already have Golden State's pick anyway. And you're all of a sudden acquiring multiple young guys that still aren't getting you over the hump. I think you try to draft that best player available, even if he is a guard, and then trying to trade one of the other two that you have there currently. I think that's the only play that you can get, but you're admitting that either Scoot ain't it and we're going guard this year, or you're going and saying our lone creator on this team right now, and Anthony Simons, we're going to let him go and we're going to try to develop two very young guards with, and look, we're not kidding ourselves here. It is the three and the fours where they need to upgrade the most.
Yes. And the thing about this, that I think there's a door number three here where they could take a guard and it would be detrimental on the public side, quote unquote. I don't think it would, and this is a hypothetical, this is not the way I would go. I don't think it would mean the end of Scoot as much as it is, let's see what happens here. But the flip side of this is, I was talking to an executive, I want to say probably 2 years ago, might have been at Hoop Summit, and we were talking about players in draft and stockpiling assets. And I mentioned a wing, and I was like, man, imagine if you guys had drafted that guy and this guy. And he goes, well, that guy wouldn't have been that guy, because we would have probably split development time between the two of them. You have to prioritize the development time. Otherwise, you can't. It's not going to work. When you try to split it between two guys like that, you have to make that decision. And or one guy doesn't rise to the top. I talked to somebody else, though, who was like, if you bring in a couple of dogs and you throw one bone in there, you go full Joker and say, whoever comes out alive comes out alive. That's a development method, too. It's a more drastic one.
It's not one that will appease the fan base, or no. I don't think it appeases ownership either.
No, but
this is why
it is a way to perhaps find a guy going forward.
From May 12th, when the draft lottery is, until the draft was at June 18th.
I think it is the 18th.
Joe Cronin will not sleep. I mean, and I feel for him because
26th. Also,
this is,
excuse me, 26th and 27th.
No goodness.
Which I will tell you right now, I've talked to multiple GMs and they all hate the idea of a 2-day. It's dumb.
Nobody's going to care about the second day of the NBA.
It was described to me as fake hustle.
And it really is. It'll be a 1-day draft in 2025.
Yeah.
But Joe Cronin is in a spot where, I mean, he's got to make moves to make this roster exponentially better heading into next year, and maybe not positioning themselves in a place to win, like, and be a contending team next year.
They have to make more sense.
But you have got to show that this team is taking a dramatic step forward to competing for the playoffs and in a playoff spot.
I don't think that this is necessarily to take a step forward in wins. They have to take a step forward in making sense.
I wholeheartedly disagree. They need to win more games next year.
Well, then you're not getting a chance at Cooper Flagg.
Well, and that's going to be a really, because this is the thing that would be what, year five?
It's year two.
But
if you have Damian Lillard on your team, you are not rebuilding. I don't care what anybody says. If you have a first ballot Hall of Famer in
there, like they shut everybody down 2 years in a row for but hold on, for draft picks, though, we saw what happened at the end of the year. They weren't competing to win games. Like, and that's the reality. Like, that is where they were. And I understand where you're coming from with it. They weren't rebuilding.
No.
They were not rebuilding. But what and I'm talking this solely from a fan base standpoint.
Sure.
In ownership and the front office, they may be on the same page in that regard. And I don't disagree with you in that. This fan base is going to go absolutely.
They couldn't handle this year.
If if they go down another road where you're not making a dramatic step forward, because that's not what any fan base wants to go through. And how long, and we've already talked about this. If you're talking about the longest stretch of consecutive losing seasons in Blazers history, mm-hmm. we're there. And like, that is where I think the fan base, apathy is the worst thing that can happen to the fan base. And I think that from a fan base standpoint, that's where things really start turning, because people have still been showing up to games. Like,
yeah, for all of the TV stuff and the organization, I will tell you full heartedly, they are not going to let that happen going forward. The lack of access to the games, the attendance is only down 8%. So people are still in the building.
And I think that's where it turns. And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for everybody, the people in text, like, well, I'm not showing up. Guess what? So everyone else is.
Well, that is the whole thing with it, taking a big step forward. Like, you watch every single game.
Mm-hmm.
People that have been watching this team competes their butts off.
Yeah.
They are void of depth.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries have ravaged them.
And I think
and if you take a big step forward, you are competing for and I'm not saying like a top four seed. I'm saying that you're competing for that play-in, right?
Well, the other side of this is, I think this year would have been drastically different, not in a performance standpoint, but in a vibes, a feeling standpoint. If Scoot doesn't crater into the side of the mountain to start the season and Shaden doesn't get hurt. If those two things don't happen, you have two very strong storylines that should carry you for the season. But Scoot, number one, starting poorly and then getting hurt. Ant getting hurt and then Shaden getting hurt. On top of Rob getting hurt. It made what should have been even a bad season enjoyable.
Yeah.
Not enjoyable out of the gate.
Yep.
On top of the TV stuff. So the first 6-8 weeks of the season were so detrimental out of the gate that it made the entire season feel crappy.
And this team wasn't going to win.
They weren't going to hit the over. Fully healthy, they were not hitting the over.
But it went, and it took such a weird turn.
Right out of the gate.
That is why you've got to take I think for this fan base,
they need something to galvanize. That's the thing they need.
And that has to translate to wins and losses too.
But that's the thing, is I think in that galvanizing force, and I don't think it's going to be a guard, because you look at this draft class, there's not that many guards. I threw that out there just to kind of throw the wrench in this, but I think they will take, and this, they have demonstrated this, taking the biggest swing in the draft. Scoot was a swing, regardless of how you feel about him. He was the guy that has the most potential. You can talk about the Thompson twins. Neither one of them's ever going to be able to shoot ever. As bad as Scoot has been as a shooter, Amen and Asar are worse. They're high level role players. They never had the ceiling that Scoot has, which Scoot still has. It's not gone. There's an opportunity still there, and this summer will go a long way to figuring out which way that goes. But they took the swing before that. They took a swing on a guy in Shaden Sharp. Like, a guy who did not play college basketball, who burst onto the scene during COVID and EYBL.
And this is, like, the big issue, though. If you swing and you don't even connect, that is where we're not seeing it.
Yeah.
I mean, and as good as we've seen the sparks from Shaden Sharp, he gets hurt, and that's not a fault of his own.
No, just it happens.
Or the Blazers organization. But at the same time,
mm-hmm. timing matters.
You're missing on that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where fan bases can only have so much. And there's a lot of really good feedback on the fan text line that I think the Vancouver Ford text line deserves its minute in the sun here.
We'll hit those coming up here next on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On the Vancouver Ford text line, there is a lot of feelings, and most of them negative. I get it. I've seen the text line over the year where Danny can polish a turd like you couldn't believe when it comes to the Blazers. I'm not polishing anything.
Well, what we're talking about is the Blazers and the draft conundrum that they may be.
Yes, and the thing that I have always stood by is, number one, you can go back and go to the vault and find every podcast talking about leading up to the NBA draft last year before they took Scoot Henderson. I was vehemently behind giving Damian Lillard a shot. I know offers that were made, and they weren't good enough. They weren't. They weren't good enough to trade the number 3 overall pick. You could maybe talk yourself into it, an option that was on the table, but you still would have needed to do 2-3 more things to be viable. And they just didn't have anything left in the cupboard to use after that.
Yep.
That number 3 pick had to solve almost all of their problems, and there was just no way to do it. That's just what it is. So they made the move, and they took Scoot Henderson. He didn't go out there to replace Damian Lillard. They made a move that they should have made probably 2 years ago, which was to trade Damian Lillard. And whether Dame realized it then, or the Trailblazers realized it then, or somebody was just willing to do it, and I've talked to Dame about this. He knows that he probably should have left 2 years ago, when Neil refused to trade CJ for the 5th time. But it pushed them down this road of where they ultimately got. And where they are right now is, I don't think there's a player on this team that is so foundational that you're like, yes, that's him. I think Anthony's a very good player. I think that it would be stupid of them to trade him away to make room for Scoot Henderson, because it has not been something that has been borne out to say, yes, he's the guy. I think Shaedon Sharpe has a ton of potential. I think Tu and Jabari and Delano, hell, even, and Chris and Ryan, all profile as good to very good role players. But there's not something you can build your house on yet. And that's the thing, is you need the best player available, I think, regardless of who it is. If you're talking about erasing the history of the Trailblazers out of your mind, but you can't do that. And that's the thing, is you look at the Vancouver Ford text line, and I've been a Blazer fan my whole life, been a season ticket holder for the past 10 years, but I've never been less excited about a lottery pick in any season than I have been watching Scoot play this year. What an absolute letdown. And we talked about this going into this season. I did not mince words. I said, Scoot Henderson is a very high ceiling, but he's going to be a 19-year-old quarterback, and boy, is he going to suck. I think I said verbatim, he's going to suck a lot. Because that's the reality. 19-year-old point guards aren't good.
But the development that we've seen has been one step forward, two steps back.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I think, as you look over the course of the year, we've seen little spurts. Shooting is an issue, but anybody that's surprised by that just wasn't
paying
listening
attention
to his pre-draft evaluations. He was not a good and polished shooter. And I think also there's a lot of people trying to compare him to the guy that he is replacing in Damian Lillard, which is totally unfair for him in any regard, because Damian Lillard is a top 75 player in NBA history.
Not only that,
Reggie Miller said he's top 10 player in NBA history today,
and
which is a stretch.
I saw that. That was an interesting line.
That was a stretch.
It was.
And a half, but
I appreciate I appreciate Reggie with the Dame propaganda.
But there is, this is the big issue, though, in that, look, they got a good haul for Damian Lillard and what they ended eventually turned it into. And you do have some building blocks, but stars win in the NBA. And if the Blazers cannot evaluate or evaluate to develop one, or if we're being quite honest, get the luck of the lottery. And that's really what it is the luck of the lottery and be able to get one of those guys. That doesn't mean fans are going to be okay with it.
No.
Because they're fanatical for a reason. And I understand where all of this like vitriol is coming from.
Oh, yeah,
from the
for
Blazers
sure.
fan base. In this offseason, if they're not making moves, everybody should be holding the Trailblazers organization yep. accountable for not moving forward and doing right in what they said they wanted to do.
It's funny that it took this long. All those years of Neil Olshey shoveling crap and it's okay, it's fine. It got to the breaking point now. It got to the breaking point because the thing that I wanted for so long in that era was the fan base to hold the Trailblazers' feet to the fire.
They stumbled ass backwards into a Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
The owner died.
Yep.
COVID happened. Like, there's all of these, like, I think the one time where everybody's like, what, when they were almost there was when they made, was it 2016, when the salary cap ballooned and they made all of those signings. People were like, what the hell is this team doing mm-hmm. right now? And then
the same season, the Warriors signed Kevin Durant.
They exceeded expectations that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, so it's not as bad as we thought. We saw a dramatic step in Damian Lillard's play and development. And then what we ended up being in was all of those things just kind of falling into the Western Conference Finals. Paul Allen dying, COVID, all those things. And you're just going in a player good enough to keep you relevant but not to win. And then people lost their S on Neil Olshey. And they did. They did. And that's why Joe Cronin is the GM now. But at the same token, they're not going to, this fan base does not want to have the same thing happen again mm-hmm. and be told, hey, development is happening. Or, like, we had this text, if they weren't rebuilding, what were they doing? It sure wasn't trying to win a title or even make the playoffs. Seems more and more like wasted 2 years when they were shutting guys down mm-hmm. at the end of the year. I mean, like, truly.
I think that when we think the first year when Olshey is fired, you have to throw that entire... Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups, they didn't know
it was
was going
to
happen.
And I've said this all along. He had to untangle a mess. I was okay with mm-hmm. it. But this offseason, if they're not making those strides, that's when
yes.
you should be upset. And
yes.
I think that's what we're all talking about is what led up to this point is this team has got to, they've got to field a team that feels like they're making...
It's progressing, yes.
Making strides in the right direction. And that is wins and losses. That is wins and losses. Because people don't want
to That'll be to the detriment of their development.
But that is... Then at that point, you're just selling us, hey, be patient. Be patient.
You're selling
for
hope.
How long?
Yeah.
Until
you find a transcendent player. Because you can't win in this league without a top 10 guy.
They need to...
It's that simple.
Yeah. And that's why I said luck of the lottery has a ton to do with it. But... I'm not going to fault anybody if they're not making big swings, like you said, and actually connecting, because we've seen swings with Scoot
yeah.
and it's missing. We saw the swings. And again, Shaden is banged up. He's injured. He's hurt. But that swing is missing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You need to connect. You have got to connect. And if you don't, and people aren't seeing that that is happening, I don't fault anybody, and I'll be right there with them with being really upset about the direction of this team. That this fan base absolutely loves the Portland Trailblazers, and they don't want to see it go down this road any further. I can't blame them.
Here's a line here. The fan base being content with the Dame CJ era is the real problem. That allowed Olshey to continue to pull the wool over PA's eyes. The fan base never, ever demanded better. They were too happy making the playoffs. It's pathetic.
And that was the one thing mm-hmm. that Paul Allen, I think we all became accustomed to Paul Allen being like, I'm not buying this crap.
Yep.
He's out.
But then he got sick.
Yeah. And that really, because we didn't have to, as a fan base, be like, fire the GM, because Paul Allen was doing that on his own.
Well, and in 2016, the ultra amount of money they spent. That was the Evan Turner contract, right, that they handed out? So that at that point, Paul Allen, I don't know how healthy he was, but you wonder, after the moves he's seen in the past, I mean, Neil must have just sold him a bag of goods on that move.
No, that's how Neil advanced.
No, absolutely. So what I'm saying is it must have been either the point where Paul Allen was too sick to actually see.
No, Neil Olshey is a very good salesman.
Okay.
That's
well, and this text says, had the report of the toxic workplace hadn't come out, Neil would still be in charge. Let's not act like the organization was proactive in firing. Like,
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I also think that a lot of people felt comfortable coming forward because of his standing with the organization at that time. And they were then...
He didn't have a friend in the building.
...empowered to say what they were all feeling.
So it was coming one way or the other, whether or not it was when it happened or at the end of that year, it was going to happen. So,
and they found their cause.
Hey, here you go. Coming up next... It is opening day tomorrow. What does the MLB payroll tell us about your team and what they could do coming up here next on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Opening day Bay Baseball. Going to be here tomorrow. First pitch will actually happen right as we get on air tomorrow afternoon down at X Golf Tualatin.
See, this is why you got to come down to X Golf Tualatin early. The NCAA Madness doesn't start until 4, but Big League Baseball, I think our first game of the day is at noon, right on the dot at noon o'clock. We got Angels Orioles opening up the big league season.
So if you want to watch a really good team beat the crap of a really, really bad team, there you go.
Hey, I'm excited to see the Fighting Ron Washingtons again. I think he's actually going to take the Angels to a better season than people expect. Possibly better than my Mariners.
Well, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, it's going to suck, but, you know, I digress.
I think more people are interested in seeing the Adley Rutschman show.
Yeah, if you come down to the Tuals and X-Golf, you'll be just miles away from the Adley Rutschman home in Sherwood.
Yeah, I saw that the Orioles are, they assigned Jackson Holliday down to the minors in a boo.
They don't want to start the
arbitration
clock.
No, they don't want to start the clock. So, no, it's smart on their part, but it's smart still business, but robbing us all baseball fans of what we want to see, which is the young sparky Orioles just going blast dingers.
Yeah, because for those that don't know, Matt Holliday's son, Jackson Holliday, is the top prospect in baseball, and by the All-Star break, will be up with the Orioles and probably never back down again.
And if he hits and still wins Rookie of the Year, guess what? The service clock starts anyway. He will get credited with a full year of service time. Yeah. So yeah, Baltimore can fool around with this all they want. Jackson Holliday, he will end up probably having a full year of service time.
It's going to be interesting to see where that lies. Speaking of the Baltimore Orioles, they are at the center of an article that was published on ESPN by Jeff Passan, diving into the line you can draw between spending and winning. And this is a discussion that we had talking about the Giants over the last decade. You can draw a direct line between spending and winning, almost a straight line through and through in Major League Baseball, with few exceptions. The exceptions being the Mets, because they're cursed. The Mets currently have the top payroll in baseball, and it's an obscene number. It's $340 million. $340 million.
It's very expensive.
And according to their stats of research, they have a 24% chance to reach the postseason. But the interesting thing about this is if you take a look at Baltimore, they are kind of the safe spot study. Actually, there's two teams, the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays. Okay, keep in mind, I just said $340 million for the top payroll in baseball. The Baltimore Orioles are heading into this season with the 29th ranked payroll at $114 million. And they are by far a team that is most, a payroll to winning ratio, the most skewed.
And this is what happens when you take the shortcut through hell. Like, this is in, I think it's Sig Madrigal is the guy who runs the Baltimore Orioles. He came from Houston, and he is the formulator of the shortcut through hell that Houston made with Jeff Luna. Tear it all down, draft, just stock your farm system.
Land number one gills, overall picks.
And knock it out of the park with those. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't miss. Well, they haven't missed
in a while, years.
And not just number one picks, but second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounders. Guys that they're finding are dudes. Their evaluation process is through the roof
right
now. Whether
it's Gunner, Hirstead, or Jackson, I mean, but Solo, it's a lot.
You tear it down until it's winning time. And for as much hope that the Orioles have that this year they can turn a corner, the process that they run with is you don't start paying until it's known. And if you remember, the Houston Astros went and traded for Justin Verlander right before the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we are going
to... It's winning time.
It is winning time right now. Mm-hmm. This year, it feels like this is that year for... And if you look, the Astros have not turned back. Like, they're paying guys left and right. They let some guys go. Carlos Correa with the ankle injury. But they drafted his replacement, and they felt comfortable enough with saying, all right, now's not the time.
And the Astros, for those wondering, have the sixth highest payroll in baseball, basically $260 million.
And this is where you all of a sudden will, once you start getting those guys in, you start paying those vets to fill out a World Series contending roster. This new owner that was just approved today for the Baltimore Orioles, he better be ready to win. And he better be ready to open up his pocketbook, because this only works with what Baltimore's doing. If you are very aggressive at the trade deadline, mm-hmm. you're willing to part with some of those draft picks that you have developed, and you let some of them go, but to push you over the top for a World Series
You keep
run.
Your core of your triplets. You keep
They've
Adley, you keep
got
Jackson.
Got to be able to do it.
And then you kind of figure it out from there. What does this mean for, Jordan Schultz and his Mariners? The Mariners have the 18th highest payroll at 159.1. You should be throwing stuff at ownership.
You think? I mean, I've been pissed the entire offseason, but the point where you can get that young talent in this little like vortex that they are now with Julio, with Cal Raleigh, and Julio still, even with that like $500+ million extension, he's still making livable money for the Mariners. Cal's on the minimum. You got young guys, like all your starting pitchers are still making basically $750,000 to $1 million. Yeah, you're right. I'm pissed that they didn't go spend that extra 25, 30 mil to go get a guy like Matt Chapman, or to go get a guy like Cody Bellinger to add that, you know, that one piece that they have been short on. And even this year, they added a DH, but still they did like subtraction by addition, essentially, and now have a hole again at third base. So, yeah. I'm pretty pissed.
And they have maybe the best pitching staff in baseball.
Absolutely. One through five, hands down.
It's incredible.
I'd say 1-7, possibly. Yeah. Like Emerson Hancock, Brian Wu, you've got kids down into your AAA team that
who
could
are fantastic, who could come up and pitch as a starter. That is all to say that you've got that pitching staff. You've got Julio. You've got Ty France. You've got guys.
You need consistency out of France this year.
But you have got dudes, and you slashed payroll.
Yep.
That's the kind of thing where you're looking at baseball. Are they the Oakland A's? No. And if you're wondering, the Oakland A's have quite literally half the payroll of the Mariners. They are dead last by such a significant margin. It's insane. The A's payroll is $80
million. The one team I can't figure out is the Tampa Bay Rays, though.
Which, they're an interesting case, much like the Orioles, where they have a farm system. They're like the Orioles right now. But historically, they're like a cheaper version of the Cardinals. The Cardinals have been good for 25 years because their farm system has been one of the best in for a quarter century. And they don't overpay guys. The thing that the Rays don't do is go pay to get the other guy. They don't trade for the Arenado. They don't trade for the Goldschmidt. They don't trade for the Holiday. They don't go get that other guy.
They have $119 million on their payroll this year.
Which is insane, because over the last 5 years, they have the fourth most wins in baseball.
Crazy.
They're consistently very good. But so you have these outliers on these teams that exist that are quote-unquote cheap. But if you look at the direct lines of everything else, there is no sport payroll out there. There is a more direct correlation than baseball and spending money. So if you're a fan of a franchise who's not spending money, unless you're the Orioles, the Rays, start looking towards next year.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, unless somebody breaks the cycle, that's just the way it's going to go. But
in the best odds to win the World Series, Dodgers, Braves, Astros, all right now, they are
top six payrolls.
Three of the top six payrolls in baseball.
And the Mets, that's how it works. The Mets screw that up because, well, they're the Mets.
Well, maybe the Yankees too, if they can't stay healthy.
Again, New York is going to New
York's in the water, baby.
Yeah, that's the nature of that beast. The surprising one here in this list is the Toronto Blue Jays.
No, they
spent more money than anyone.
Yeah, they had a bunch of young talent.
Vladdy Jr., Bichette. I mean, you go down Biggio, the list.
Basically, all the guys in the 90s that were really good, their kids now play for the Blue Jays. Yeah. And they want to win. Like, we don't give Toronto enough credit stateside with how much they love their Blue Jays up north.
It's the Raptors and the Jays.
Dude. And
For sports that North American
If you've ever been to a Mariners game when the Blue Jays are in town.
Vancouver rolls
it
down.
It's just... It's circling.
It's Canada's team.
Blue Jays fans. Wasn't it last year that they put Blue Jays jerseys in the Mariners team store?
Yes. That is what happened.
Yeah, post All-Star break. Yep. It looked like they were just trying to get rid of the extra Blue Jays crap that they had.
The Raptors came to the Blazers game, and the Raptors fans were 50-50 with the Blazers. Like, you have an entire nation rooting for a team.
Yeah, it took JP and Cal Raleigh to say, hey, stop doing this for the Mariners to pull all that crap.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah, this is a good point on the Vancouver text line. Wander Franco really set the Rays back.
Yeah, he was really good, but the other stuff, super gross, and hope terrible things happen to him.
Wow.
They still got to pay him, too.
Yeah, that's the...
They'll find their way out of that one.
And also the Vancouver Ford text line shouting out Schultzy in 54%. 54%.
Not 54.
Oh... So there you go. All right, coming up next, we'll get ready to hand you off to Isaac and Suit. Can we run Danny and Dusty to the Fan? I can't wait for baseball season. So I can be disappointed early and often. That's the great thing about baseball season is it allows you to be disappointed 150 plus times. It's a lot of opportunity for
you. Have the ability to dip in and dip out of baseball season.
It's wonderful
at your leisure.
Well, watching my 54%ers, I think I'm going to be disappointed quite a bit.
Yeah, God, 54%ers sounds like a hate group.
It is. They're called Mariners fans. They hate themselves and the Mariners.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I mean, truth.
It is. We've been through this. It's been 20 plus years now. You should get a patch for that Mariners
pullover. To go on your leather jacket.
Team owner finally addressed it without actually addressing the whole controversy in the offseason. He's like, I want to win. Like, you're not spending the money to.
Yeah,
full stop.
Yeah, doesn't look like it, bud. All right, hey, we're going to be on the road tomorrow. X-Golf Tualatin Fan Madness Part 2. Let's go. Party on with us. We'll be there tomorrow noon until 7 p.m. Thanks to our friends George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law and Coors Light. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears is Primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.